Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion, everyone. You're not seeing double. Actually, this is the seminarian Nate Mars from St. Paul. He's their field worker there, and he's going to be preaching for us this morning and sharing God's word with us for this fourth Sunday in Advent. So we're happy to have him here with us. I think there's a few announcements. I mean, he's going to announce that he is here, but also I'd like to say thanks for all the lovely flowers, all of you that have donated money for them to be here. They're great, and I love having them up here for, you know, the Christmas season. It's always nice extra stuff to just make it look that much more beautiful for Christmas Day. And I don't know, Diane, do you have any announcements? Or are we all set?
Just come Christmas Eve, the kids are working very hard. Even though you just see two of them, you're going to see a lot of them up there Christmas Eve.
I was here for the practice. And they did really well yesterday morning practicing, so we're looking forward to seeing that Christmas Eve. Well, seeing no more announcements, let's go ahead and open up with our opening hymn, LSB 368.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joy. Strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. While this jubilee, while your joyous strains prolong, what a gladsome tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let us face that we may be saved.
We have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience of your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to be born in our flesh, to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has forgiven all of our sins.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted up by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Micah chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second, and by that will we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greetings came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. So do you guys know what candle we're lighting today? The peace candle. Now, I heard you might have talked about some stuff in Sunday school. Yeah, what did you guys talk about?
We talked about the peace candle. Peace means that you want had to have some space. You want it everyone to be quiet.
You want everyone to be quiet.
That's what peace means.
Uh-huh. Well, that can be one meaning, but what do we mean when we talk about peace, when we talk about Jesus? What type of peace is he going to bring us?
He's going to bring peace to the world.
To the world, right. And so why would we need that? What's going on in the world that...
Wars.
Yeah, there's wars. What else?
And if there's a crowd in it very well, you could... And then the crowd could get down quieter.
Yeah. Yeah, but so Jesus has to bring peace because, you know, we fell into sin, didn't we? Remember, we go back to Adam and Eve, and so when they fell into sin, there was no peace. And Satan was kind of noisy. You're talking about being quiet, right, with peace. Well, Satan was noisy in the garden and wouldn't stop talking to him and made him fall into sin because they tempted him. And he's still kind of doing that now. He's still going around and yapping his mouth all around the world, trying to take us away from Jesus so that we don't believe in him and recognize that he's going to bring that peace, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah? And so what does Jesus' peace look like? Can you think of anywhere in the Bible that might talk about that? I first think about the book of Philippians where Paul says that, you know, Jesus is going to bring a peace that surpasses all understanding. What is that? You know, what do we mean by surpasses all understanding? It means it just doesn't make sense, right? It's something that's doesn't quite make sense in our brains. And what type of peace does that mean Jesus is going to bring?
There will be no sinning.
Yeah, right. There's going to be no more sinning. And so the world is going to be in a state that we've really never really understood because we've never seen it. That's why it surpasses all understanding, because we've never seen the world apart from sin. And so when Jesus comes back, he's going to give us peace in a way that we will never be able to understand this side of heaven. And that when we get there, it's going to be something so much better than what we have. Because when he comes, there's going to be no more sin, no more crying, no more tears. And we'll see him and see all those people that we love gathered together around the whole entire company of heaven. And he'll give us that peace. You guys want to help me light the candles? You know, what are the other candles that we've lit so far?
We lit love, hope, and joy, and now we're lighting peace.
Peace, right. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for the help. And now we'll go ahead and sing our sermon hymn.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns a lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Come, thou branch of Jesse's tree, free from the Satan's tyranny, that trust thy mighty power to save and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel,
shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou King of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad division cease, and be thyself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Before I begin, I want to thank you for allowing me and my wife and my daughter to be here with you this fine morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I want you to imagine with me that you are 2,500-ish years ago in the center of Jerusalem. You see the grand buildings all surrounding you. Maybe you decide to go to the palace of the king, try to get a glimpse of the ruler of Judah. Maybe you go to the marketplace, find what spices and exotic food you can get in this great capital of Judah. But then, of course, where do you go next? You go to the temple, the center place of worship in Israel, the center place of your life as God's people. And as you go up, you see this grand building that Solomon himself erected. But then you hear something odd. You hear someone screaming to the heavens, and there's a great crowd around him. And so you go up and you want to listen. And what do you hear? Micah chapter 4. Now why does Jerusalem cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that pain seized you like a woman in labor? Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you shall go out from the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. Well, that's certainly not what you expect to hear at the temple of God. I mean, what woe, what misery. God has abandoned his people. Isn't the temple where you are? Isn't that where God promised to be? But then a shift happens in chapter 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. What comfort and what joy this must give you, especially compared to the promised destruction of Jerusalem. God actually did not abandon his people. But now you may be asking yourselves, what does this have to do with me? I'm not 2,500 years ago in the center of Jerusalem. I don't have Babylonians outside of my country waiting to destroy us. What does this have to do with me? Well, and that's what I want to explore in today's sermon, with three main questions. First, what does this have to do with me, this prophecy of Micah? Second, what does this prophecy say about Christ? And third, why is this text chosen for 3 days before Christmas? And so, let's begin with this first question. What does this prophecy have to do with me? Well, to understand what it has to do with me, you have to first understand what this, what the prophecy means to the Israelites. And the first thing that this prophecy means for the Israelites is the coming destruction with Babylon, as I've already referenced before. This is seen in verse 3. Therefore he, meaning God, shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. In that first part of the verse, God says that he will give them up to Babylon. And we see this actually happen in the Bible. In 2 Kings chapter 25, this is 586 BC, 200 years after Micah gave this prophecy. In the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came with all his army against Jerusalem and laid siege to it. And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, every great house he burned down. God was faithful to his word. He brought the destruction he foretold through the prophet Micah. Jerusalem was overthrown by King Nebuchadnezzar. But then, if we go back to that verse 3 that we already referenced, God also gives hope. Therefore, God shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. God promises that even after this destruction, the Israelites would return to Judah. And that is, in fact, recorded in Scripture in Ezra and Nehemiah. And so what does this prophecy have to do with us? Well, this prophecy, it shows that God is faithful to his word. He is faithful in his word of destruction, in his judgment against Israel's idolatry. But then he is even more faithful in his promise of salvation, bringing them back to Judah. And from this line of Judah, the Christ will come. And so let's now look at what this prophecy has to say with Christ, because that is the more important part about this prophecy. This prophecy also predicts Jesus' birth. In verse 2, from you, Bethlehem, shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. You will hear this story recounted in either 2 or 3 days, depending on whether it's Christmas Eve or Christmas. You will hear the story of Mary and Joseph going back to Bethlehem. And so Micah, in this prophecy, predicts where the Messiah would be born. But what would be your first question to Micah if you heard this prophecy? When? When will this Messiah come? Micah doesn't give the answer. God did not give Micah that answer. But Micah trusted in God that he would bring it to fruition because God promised it. But even though Micah doesn't tell us when Christ would come, Micah does tell us who this Messiah would be. If we look at verse 2 again, it says that the one who's coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. What does that mean? The ancient days reference, that is a reference to God himself. Because God existed before creation, therefore God is the Ancient of Days. Therefore, the Messiah who is promised to come, he will be God himself. But interestingly, in verse 3, Micah then says, when she who is in labor has given birth. This is a reference to Jesus' humanity. This Messiah, who is God himself, will be born. So he will be both God and man. And being God and man, this affects his activity on earth, what Jesus does for his people. In verse 2, but you, O Bethlehem, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. The fact that Jesus is born from Bethlehem is a fulfillment of God's promise to David that he would have a ruler from David's line forever. And so that is Jesus' activity as a human. He is the fulfillment of the promise to David. But as God, we look at verse 4, he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. This Messiah will care for his people, shepherd his people in a way that only God himself can. And so we see that Micah's prophecy is rich in telling us about the Christ, about who he is and what he will do. And that is why this text was chosen for this fourth Sunday of Advent. But now I want to return back to the first question. What does this prophecy have to do with us? It is true that this does show God's faithfulness in bringing Israel back from slavery. And so it shows God's promise will be fulfilled in the Messiah, which we see in the New Testament. And so it is a fulfillment of God's promise to us that he will be with us. But there is more we can learn from this prophecy. And to do that, I want to look at our gospel lesson. In Luke chapter 1, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth because Mary learned that Elizabeth had a miraculous pregnancy. But when Mary enters the house, what does Elizabeth say? She says in verse 42 and 43, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth was a faithful Jewish woman, and she was even married to a priest. And so she doubtlessly knew all of the Old Testament prophecies. She knew of this prophecy from Micah. She knew who this Messiah would be. And so when Mary spoke to Elizabeth, she recognized that she was bearing the Messiah. You couldn't even see that Mary was pregnant yet, but she recognized that the baby in her womb was the Messiah. And so we can learn from both Elizabeth and from Micah that we can give a true confession of who Jesus is based off of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you yourself did this just a few minutes ago when we sang, "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," in verse 4. "O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree, free them from Satan's tyranny, that trust thy mighty power to save and give them victory over the grave." This is a confession of who Christ is based off of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. "O come, thou branch of Jesse's tree." We've already talked about that part. Jesse was David's father, and so this is a reference to Jesus being the Davidic king that was promised. "Free them from Satan's tyranny." Christ came to die upon the cross and rise again to save us from Satan, as well as death, and give them victory over the grave. Christ will come on the last day and save us from death. And how do we know all of this? It's because of the prophecy from Micah, as well as Elizabeth's confession. And so, if anyone asks you this Christmas season, why do you celebrate Christmas? Why do you celebrate Christ's birth? You don't have to give them just the simple answer of he is God, but you can tell them that he is God promised from of old in the Messiah, from the prophecy of Micah. He was promised to be God and man, and that is why we celebrate his birth, is he saved us from our sins, and he will come again on the last day to bring us to himself. So let us remember that with the Old Testament, Jesus truly is our promised Messiah and the one who fulfills all of the Old Testament. A blessed Advent to you all. Amen.
Quiet now.
this time we will gather our tithes and our offerings by singing our offering hymn, LSB 373. Please rise for prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that you stir up our hearts to turn toward you and your forgiveness this Advent season, recalling that your Son accomplished for us humbling himself to be born in human flesh. Grant that we may eagerly anticipate his return, where all our hope will be manifested fully. We pray for the whole church, that you may uphold and strengthen her in this world, raising up those who faithfully proclaim and teach your word. We pray especially for Zion as they go through this vacancy. Allow this transition to be smooth and that the appropriate path might be revealed moving forward. For the members of this congregation, O Lord, we give thanks. Bless their time in worship that they might be filled and nurtured in their faith, knowing that you offer them great and abundant mercy. We also lift before you those who are sick or struggling with long-term afflictions, especially Alice, Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Mary Ellen, Gary, Bill, Bryceton, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Dan, Ron, and Renee. Grant that they might receive compassion and healing and give them your peace. We pray for all those who travel around this Christmas, that they might arrive safely to their destinations with your providential hand guiding them, Father in heaven. Lastly, we pray for this nation and for our President Joe and President-elect Donald, guiding all in authority to make godly decisions that support and defend your word. Trusting in our Lord and his promises, we boldly pray the prayer that his Son taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord look upon us with his favor and give us his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to